Here we go.
Happy Psalm Sunday. We're all supposed to say Happy Psalm Sunday. Thank you. today is, if I'm right, April 13th, 2025. good job. In Gregorian calendar. But that started in 1582. What was there before 1582? There was a calendar called Julian calendar. Now, Gregory, a pope, commissioned the 1582 calendar, which had become kind of our standard calendar. So when we think of New Year, we are thinking of Gregorian calendar, New Year. But then before that, there was the Julian calendar by Julius Caesar, and there's about 13-day differences between them. But we also know in Singapore, we celebrate another calendar. We just had that New Year sometime either in February or January. I had forgotten. I meant to check that out before I came. We call them either Chinese calendar in Singapore or lunar calendar elsewhere. And my mother tongue, which is Tamil, and I'm from Tamil Nadu, India, we have a calendar. And the only month I remember is a month called Adi, because there's always Adi sales. And so my mom always talks about, okay, we'll wait till Adi sales when we can get you those stuff, because things go on sale, right? So all of us have different calendars, and I have a feeling that some of you know more than one calendar, especially if you're from countries that have different calendar. There's a Mayan calendar, there is a Gregorian calendar, there is a calendar for the French. There's a calendar for the Spaniards. Everyone has their own calendar, but somehow Gregorian calendar had become standard calendar that we all go by. But today I want to talk about a completely different calendar, the calendar that the Lord God, Yahweh God, instructed for his people to have. It is called, which is part of what today's message is about, Psalm Sunday. But it's a calendar that we would call Nisan calendar, just for easy reference. Because the Lord said to Moses, there used to be one over there. I lost that one. Said to Moses and Aaron, Egypt, this month, which is Nisan, sometimes it's spelled like the Nisan, the car, N-I-S-S-A-N, is the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take for his family a male 1-year-old sheep or goat without any defects. Now, Nisan meant first fruits or spring, when all the plants give birth to, or the plants yield various kinds of fruit. So Nisan means spring, or the when the in Israel, barley ripened. So even though they had a lot of calendar, as they're about to leave Egypt and enter the promised land, the Lord says to them, from starting from this year, today or this month, Nisan will be your January. Right? And so from that day on, even to this day, Israel celebrates the Nisan calendar, or the calendar that starts with Nisan as the first month. This coming Saturday, they will celebrate Passover, which is the 14th day, and I'll talk about that in a moment. So they're already in, the Israelites are already in the new year after the first month, Nisan. Right now, I'm going through this to set us in the context of what a Palm Sunday is. That brings us to the second part of the story where he says, take care of the sheep and the goat. My teacher used to say, imagine having a pet 1-year-old goat or sheep in your house. All the kids gonna get attached to that. Right? 1 year, my parents decided they will get a goat early in January, and we will raise them, and by December, we would kill them for Christmas. Well, my younger sister and I named him. Well, once you name him, you can't kill, I forget the name, but we'll call him Nanny. You can't kill Nanny on Christmas Day, right? As a result, my parents never killed that little goat. Yeah. So it says you keep that little goat or sheep in your house for till the 14th, four more days of the month when all Israel must slaughter it at night. Then take some of the blood and put it on the sides and top of the door frames of the houses. That night, roast the meat over the fire and eat it with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Now, we are very familiar with this scene because we often hear it being read during the Lord's Supper. Right? This is the day they're leaving from Egypt in their bondage and starting on a journey to the promised land where they will have freedom of worshiping their God Yahweh. Right? And so he says, you take on, from this year on, Nisan is your January, the first day of your first month of your calendar. And on the 10th, you pick an animal, then keep that animal in your house for 4 days. And on the 14th, you kill that little baby lamb and you spread the blood on the doorpost. And scholars would say that looked like a cross, a pre-symbol to the cross death of the Lord Jesus. But regardless, you put all of those and then you slaughter the animal, roast it, and eat it. There's a lot more interesting thing that goes. Now, I quickly went through the first slide, and that's because Exodus 12 talks about it. But the Exodus 12 is a slightly complicated chapter because he starts talking about Passover, and then he goes to talk about a couple of other stuff, especially the unleavened bread, and I'll talk about that in a moment, and he comes to Passover. So when you're reading it without knowing the structure, it seems a little confusing. But what I'm talking today about Passover comes from Exodus 12, 1 through 13, and 42 to 51. Okay, so let me continue on again with the story. Then the Lord says, this is from the latter part, as you can see from verse 42, because the Lord kept vigil on the night to bring you out of Egypt, you must keep vigil on this night, meaning stay up to honor the Lord. So the Israelites, when they celebrate this festival, they not only have roasted sheep or goat, you are allowed to have either one of them, a one-year-old male without defect, and you have bitter herbs, and you have unleavened bread, meaning you are in such a hurry, you could not put the yeast and wait for the bread to rise. You just had to eat it without any yeast, flat bread, like pita bread or something like that, or crackers, you know, with that thing that has no yeast in it and hadn't risen up, tasteless in some way. But yet that's what they're supposed to eat. And they're supposed to, and there's a whole bunch of other stuffs too. If you're a male that day, you're in trouble unless you're already being circumcised, because only the circumcised Israelite male can participate. All the ladies can. And if you're a slave or a servant in the master's house and you are circumcised, you can participate in their meal. But foreigners and strangers, temporary residents, and even hired servants, they may not participate in that meal. And also, in the original scene, in the Passover scene, they were standing with their shoes on or sandals on their feet and a staff in their hand because it showed the hurriedness with which they left Egypt at nighttime to enter their journey to the promised land. Right? So it's a very symbolic day. And at the end of it all, the Lord God, Yahweh, said to them, every year you must celebrate this. Right? And because of that, the Israelites have even to this day celebrated it. Matter of fact, this coming Saturday is their Passover Sabbath, a very special day for the people of Israel. And it should be for us because we would see how it applies to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's the setting. And here's a fancy diagram. I'm not really good about coming up with one. I figured this out using Google, and here it is. Nisan, the first of the year, and the special day is Nisan 10th, selection of the sheep or goat, and then Nisan 14th, the Passover festival. And as you saw in Exodus 12, there's one more festival attached to this Passover festival. And that festival is talked about that for 7 days, starting from the Passover day, the day that you eat unleavened bread, bread without yeast, for 7 days you must eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, which is Nisan 14, remove the yeast from your house, hold a sacred assembly, and another one at the end of the seventh day, which is the 21st of Nisan. Do not work on these days except to prepare food for everyone. Whoever eats anything with yeast from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. For the Israelites, this is a very significant time. For 7 days, they're going to eat bread with no yeast on it. Matter of fact, they clean their whole house. I've been told, and I have not actually seen it, during Chinese New Year or Lunar New Year, they change the furniture and start a new set of furniture. And in the same way for the Israelites, they go through the whole house to make sure there is no mold, no yeast, no fungi, because the Lord wanted them to have a brand new start on the first. Now, you can imagine, being spring, they would have come through the winter, the time when there would be mold in the house, or there would be fungi in the house, right? So they had to clean them all and start a new year, a new spring first day, new calendar with the new festival where they remember the Lord and how he brought them out of Egypt, their bondage to liberty. Right? So that becomes the last part, a seven-day festival called the Unleavened Bread Festival. Now, this is significant to understand the timing of what's happening in the life of Jesus. This Passover is reflected in the last 7 days of the Lord Jesus. But I will only talk about the last 4 days. So now we are coming back into Jesus' life, and it says, we'll start with the Passover and we would go backwards, right? On the first day of the festival of the unleavened bread, remember we just started out with the unleavened bread, which is the same day as Nisan 14th or the Passover day. On the first day of the festival of the unleavened bread, the disciples asked Jesus, "Where should we celebrate Passover?" And you can read about this whole story where the Lord Jesus says, well, two of you go into the city and you would come across a man who has a jar with him and you ask him, have you prepared the upper room for our Lord? And he would show you the upper room and that's where you would prepare for the Lord's Supper. And on Thursday, if we happen to have our service, we would celebrate what's called the upper room service, our Maundy Thursday service, where the Lord Jesus himself instituted the Lord's Supper, which is a story that we are very familiar with, where they all recline, they all eat Passover, and the Lord talks about somebody will betray him that night, the Lord talks about somebody would deny him the next day, and you have the whole disciples saying, I'm not it, I'm not it, I'm not it. And at the end of the meal, Jesus washes their feet. You remember that story? And that all happens on the day that is the first day of the unleavened bread or the Passover preparation day. Okay? And then the rest of them that talks about it. And that night itself, they celebrate the Passover, Jesus and the disciples, and they go over into Gethsemane. And you remember the story, Jesus says to disciples, stay awake and pray with me. And then he takes three of them, James, John, and Peter, and tells them again, stay up and pray with me. And we also heard our Monique say that they sang Hillel songs as they went up, Psalm 113 through 118. And he says to them, stay awake, because remember, we saw the Lord had instructed them because, went too far. Keep vigil on that night, because that's the night Yahweh God stayed vigil to bring them out. Right? And as we see, only Jesus stays vigil. The rest of them are sound asleep. Right? And so you can see how that all fits together. And that is Nisan 14. But that takes us to the day before. Oops, I went the other way. Oh, that is the right way. which is Nisan 14. That's where we start the story. But then we go to the day before, because all of these events are pretty significant. The day before, there are two stories happening. Both of them are preparing to send Jesus to the cross. The first one, at Bethany, a lady takes a pure nard from an alabaster jar, breaks the jar, puts the oil on his feet and head, and there's a lot of commotions along with it. Well, this is a lot of money. Why is she doing that? But the Lord Jesus says, she is preparing me for my burial. Because that's what they did at burial time. They put oils and spices on them so they did not smell bad. And the lady is doing it the day before on Nisan 13. But while she is doing that at Bethany, Judas, who was with them and had talked about not wasting the money, goes down to Jerusalem and talks with the leaders. If you would give me 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave according to the Old Testament, I will betray Jesus for you. Right? So both events happened the day before on Nisan 13 to prepare Jesus for his death and burial. That takes us to the day before, which Mark tells us it is 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread, as we saw in the calendar. The chief priest and the scribes, or the teachers of the law, they conspire in Jerusalem. They say, hey, how could we kill this guy, capture and kill this guy? But they come to a conclusion, let's not do it during the festival time because there will be a riot in town, right? Now, because half the people admire Jesus. A whole bunch of people had been fed by Jesus. Remember the 5,000 feeding and the 4,000 feeding. And a whole bunch of people have received all kinds of healings. Right? So they don't want Jesus to be killed. So the scribes and the high priest decide, hey, let's wait till the festival is over. Fast forward the story, they didn't follow their own advice, right? They will capture him and kill him during the festival season because people were on their side, on their side saying, crucify him, crucify him. Right? That is Nisan 12. That takes us to the day before, Nisan 11. In the morning, the disciples see that the previous day Jesus had asked a tree to wither because it did not have any fruit in it, and that tree had withered. They're surprised. Lord, how did that happen in the morning, right? You had just asked it to wither away yesterday, and it had already happened, and the Lord Jesus would say, with faith, all things are possible. In the evening, as they were leaving Jerusalem, the disciples look at the beautiful, gorgeous Jerusalem and say, look at the temple and at all its precincts, 8 football field long, right? That's a huge complex and would have been gorgeous to look at. There is a rock in the basement of Jerusalem temple that is 28 tons, kilogram, right? Just one basement rock, right? And all that is left of that beautiful building and complex is just the foundation, right? And the Lord goes on to talk about, and we will look at this in a moment, a metaphor for his death, but it's also a reality that the Jerusalem will be destroyed. That is Nisan 10th. That brings us to today's date, which is Nisan 11. In the morning, Jesus and the disciples walk from Bethany to Bethpag to Mount of Olives on the other side of Jerusalem temple. And that's where the Lord is looking for a fruit in a fig tree. It was spring. So it was supposed to have fruit. It had all the leaves, but no fruit. So the Lord asked, may never be fruit from you. And as we saw, the next day they see the tree is withered. And as a picture of Israel that has no reward or no fruit. From Bethpag, Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey. That brings us to today's story. In Jerusalem, he cleanses the temple. So let's look at today's story. I'm leaving Mark for temporarily, and we are in Matthew chapter 21. A quick story, and I'm going to go to one more passage to take a story. Now, what is significant about this day is Nisan 10th is when they selected the lamb or the goat or the sheep that they were to sacrifice on the Passover, right? And that's the day Jesus marches into Jerusalem. So in a way, he is offering himself as the Passover lamb for the people of God, the unblemished lamb of God that they can choose for themselves. So let's read the Palm Sunday story. As they approached Jerusalem, Matthew 21:1, and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you, say to them, 'The Lord needs it,' and they will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Zechariah, "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey or a yoked animal." The disciples went and did just as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. And every large crowd spread, and a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread on them. That's how we get the word Palm Sunday. They say it's the palm branches, and therefore it's a Palm Sunday. The crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to God, Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest in heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stared and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." But today I want to talk about the last three things that I call prophecy that is associated with the Palm Sunday, proclamation that is associated with the Palm Sunday, and the prediction that Jesus gives on Palm Sunday. Hey, I was good at having alliteration. Yeah. Prophecy, proclamation, and prediction. So let's look at the prophecy. Monique made reference to that. This is a prophecy from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. In the story of Zechariah, the prophet, up to chapter 8, the Lord, prophet narrates through the Lord's instruction all the destruction that had come upon the people because they have constantly disobeyed God. But in chapter 9, the story changes. From chapter 9 on, it is God's deliverance. And he is going to bring deliverance to his people, not as the people expected through a war, but he is going to bring them deliverance to a Messiah, a mighty king that will come in the place of the Lord and bring them deliverance. So here is the prophecy, and the prophecy says, "Tell your daughter Zion," God is calling Israel as daughter Zion, "your king is coming to you. He is gentle. He is seated on a donkey with her colt under a yoke." That's the quotation that Matthew remembers and says, oh yeah, I know why Jesus is coming seated on a donkey, because Zechariah prophesied, this is how Israel's deliverance will come. Israel's deliverance will come from the Messiah, their king, seated on a donkey, riding into the country. But there's a really interesting statement about him. He is gentle. Now, the reason I put the Greek word pros is because it's quoted three other times. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the king, the earth. And then we have the same reference to the passage that I'm quoting. And then in 1 Peter 3, it is signed, in 11:29, Jesus says, I am gentle. Come and bear my yoke and see, my weight is light. And then Peter in 3:4 talks about people having gentleness as a quality, not outward manifestation, but a gentle heart. But you had to think of, why is it important that a king is a gentle king? Right? Because we know what warrior kings are like. We know what kings who want to take over other neighboring countries and fight for them. Such wars are happening even at this moment. We are all familiar with, right? And we have seen in history of the world so many wicked kings, greedy kings, kings as soon as they become kings, although they were very gentle and kind before, they're no longer gentle and kind. But what is unique about God's Messiah is that he is gentle. That's the only description in all through the New Testament, all through the Gospels, that Jesus gives about himself. I have had students ask, well, how tall was Jesus? We don't know, but I want to think he was my height. So do all of you, right? What color was he? I don't know, but I want to think he was my color. Yeah? Did he have bald hair like me? All the books and all the pictures that I've seen, he had long hair. Right? We don't know, but I think he was like me. But we all do, right? But what we have no description of how tall he was, how handsome he was, or what color he was. All we know is one self-description by him. I am gentle. I love that, right? I grew up very legalistic. I grew up in churches that, even to this day, I'm afraid, how do I dress up to go to that church? Or how do I behave in such a church? We are condemned all the time by the world and the people, and sadly, even the churches and the Christians. But there's one person that is always gentle to us. Always. Because that is his character. I am gentle and know that my weight, my load that you would have to carry is very light. Now, that has such a profound concept. Peter would use the same very words in Acts to say, our forefathers and all the laws that we kept was a heavy yoke on our shoulder. We can barely carry it. Right? The Lord Jesus turns around and says, but follow me. My yoke is very light, and my weight is negligible. Right? Because I myself am gentle. Yeah. I hope you get to know this gentle Savior. Right? That brings me to the second one, which is the proclamation. Now the people are singing a song that we saw, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna, in the highest. Now that is a psalm that they have sang every Passover. That's a Hillel song that Monique referred to, right? The Hillel song that they sang as they went on to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem, as they climbed up to Jerusalem. They sang Psalm 113 through Psalm 118. This is a part of Psalm 118. What is interesting is about what it actually says. Please, Lord, Hosanna. The Hebrew word is save me, please. Now, when you come to this passage, they actually transliterate it. They don't translate it. They don't explain it. They just say, Hosanna, 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 save us, save us, save us. But do they mean? Do they mean save us? Because the next day, the same people who said, Hosanna, 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 save us, save us, save us, turn around and say, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. 24 hours made the difference. from "Save us, Hosanna," to "Crucify him." But on that day, they do say, "Please, Lord, Hosanna, please. Please, Lord, protect me, please. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." It's a song where one person sang one part and the people sang the other part. So all the first part is the priest declaring that statement, "Save us, Lord, save me. Blessed is the person who comes in the name of the Lord." And the people unanimously say, "We bless you from the house of the Lord. We bless you from the temple." 24 hours later, they say, "Crucify him." Yeah. And we have, if you compare with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they would say repeatedly, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of David, David's king, our king." Right? That brings me to the last, which is the prediction. This prediction is in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. So read with me Luke 19. "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, Jesus wept." This is the second time Jesus wept. The other time, you remember, he wept at that Lazarus' funeral, Lazarus' gravesite. Now he weeps for the city. He wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day that you would bring, this day would bring you peace, but you had hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you and your enemies will build an embark against you and encircle you and hem you on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within the walls. They will not leave one stone unturned on another because you did not recognize the time of God's visitation or coming to you." Right? What the Lord does is, you're crying today, "Save me and save me," but I know you don't really mean that. And that's why the Lord weeps over Jerusalem. Because hypothetically, now we know the history, that's not how it happened, but hypothetically, they could have accepted him that day as their king, in the place of Pontius Pilate, their governor, and in the place of Caesar. But that was just the lip service. "Save us, O Lord, save us, O Lord, King of Israel, David's son." All of them were only lip service, which they changed the next day to crucify him. And the Lord grieves over them and weeps over them because they didn't see God through Christ was visiting them that day, offering them total salvation, total redemption, total freedom from the yoke of slavery that they were under, Roman rule. But they rejected all of that. So the Lord predicts that there's going to be destruction. And just as he predicted, 40 years later, Rome comes and totally destroys Jerusalem and the temple. Like I said, all that is left there are the foundations. And several centuries later, Islamic temple was built on top of it, the Golden Dome, right? Just as the Lord predicted, the sad prophecy came against them. But I have a question, or collection of questions for us. The question is very simple. Have we accepted God's gift of salvation? God's gift being the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We don't want to be people who say, "Save us, save us, save us," one day, and then shout, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him," the next day. But I'm pretty sure most of us are people who have accepted. So I have two follow-up thoughts. If you have not accepted the salvation the Lord Jesus had offered you, today is the day. This is the day of the Lord's visitation. Don't walk away. The offer is very simple. Accept him. His yoke is light. His weight is very simple, very negligible. And his character is gentle. This is a gentle Savior we are talking about. Yeah? If you haven't accepted him, don't walk away. Today is the day. But if you have accepted, and all of us have, let's not switch from Hosanna to crucify, but let's sing again and again, Lord, continue to save us. He has saved us, but we need daily deliverance. I don't know about you, but Andrew does. Yeah? And we call out to him, to a merciful Father and a gentle Lord. We cry to him, Hosanna, Hosanna, and praise him with the songs of Psalm 113 through Psalm 118, the Hillel song, the songs of praise giving, because he had delivered us without any of our works. Now in 1 Corinthians 5, that's the last reference to that, that I had made a reference earlier on, Paul would say, Jesus is our Passover lamb. And he would go on to say, because he, the Passover lamb, had been crucified, sacrificed, let's live a life of unleavened bread, which is putting aside all kinds of evil that clings to us. Let's be pure people, people without yeast, people without malice, people without bad talks, people without guile, people without all kinds of evil in us, but be pure people because Jesus, the Passover lamb, had been sacrificed for us. If you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus, please don't walk away. Today is the day of salvation. If you have accepted the Lord, go in peace with a joy and gladness and thanksgiving for the great salvation that we have. That's why we hold palm branches and say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord Yahweh. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for an amazing salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him as the Passover lamb, marching into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago and offering his body so that he may die and we may live by his resurrection. We pray, Father, as we celebrate both Psalm Sunday, Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter, we will keep the Lord Jesus the center of our thoughts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.